Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to understand God's marvelous gift of grace. But you know what? There is a hyper-grace movement that is totally distorting God's wonderful gift of grace. So I said, who do I know that would be the best person to analyze what is true biblical grace and what is wrong with the hyper-grace movement? And, of course, it was called a no-brainer. It's my friend, Dr. Michael Brown. Dr. Brown, for those of you that aren't familiar with him, he has a Ph.D. in Near Eastern languages from New York University. He speaks, reads, or writes a dozen languages. He has been in the scriptures for decades in the original languages. Mike, I'm sure you had a burden before we even contacted you about this hyper-grace message that's going around. When did you first were concerned about this?
Well, it's because I love the message of grace so much, and I'm so jealous for God's true grace. I started to get burdened when I saw just some distortions, some mixture that was coming with the grace message. But in particular, the last year, everywhere I turn, I'm running into this. Everywhere I turn, I'll quote a scripture about holiness and purity, and someone will come back to me. That's legalism. Why are you throwing this under me? I'm under grace. And I thought, that's a strange response. I would talk about, let's press in, let's go after the Lord, let's seek him, and they'd throw something back at me. That's works. I'm under grace. And then they'd start using all the same terms. I'm not into behavior modification. I'm not into sin management. And I thought, where are these coming from? So the more I began to look at it, the more I saw that there were a number of books, a number of teachers, a number of ministries that all felt they were part of a grace revolution or a grace reformation. Some of them say that there have been things hidden from the church for hundreds and hundreds of years, and now we have recovered it, and we are putting this out. And I became increasingly alarmed when I saw the extreme claims that were being made. I became increasingly alarmed when I saw people being damaged and then said it's like a flood. Pastors, leaders, believers, literally from all over America and different countries saying, Mike, you've got to speak about this. You've got to write about this. This is splitting our churches. This is confusing our people. Families are being torn apart. And I saw some being touched by a great revelation of grace, and I'm so jealous for it because we can never, for a split second, downplay, despise, denigrate God's grace. We live by grace 24/7, but I saw it being mixed with dangerous error.
Let me tell you what concerns me the most at this point is the Bible says, without holiness, we will not even see God. And what the effect it's having, even the ones that are not really in heresy, which most of them have a little bit of this heresy, is when people start watching the TV shows, reading the books, what happens is their barometer for holiness goes down, and they start compromising. And I don't want to share testimonies of men and women of God that have done things like leaving their wife and marrying their secretary. But here's the thing: that's happened even before the hyper grace message. Mm-hmm. But it's justifying it. That's what's bothering me.
Right. And here's the thing. Every hyper-grace teacher that I've read, listened to, many I've dialogued with, I've reached out to and say, hey, I'm writing about this. I'm quoting you. Do I understand you correctly? Are you willing to reconsider your position? And we've gone back and forth, and I say, no, this is where I stand. But here's the deal, though. Everyone that I speak to, they say the same thing. No, no, no. grace is not a license for sin. When you understand grace rightly, it helps you to overcome sin. I said, but the problem is when you teach that God has already forgiven all of our future sins before we ever commit them, when you teach that we never have to confess our sins to God, when you teach that the Holy Spirit never convicts us of sin anymore, when you tell us that anything where you have to exert some kind of effort to please God or obey God, that's all wrong, that that's the flesh, that that's not grace, of course you're setting people up for destruction. Of course you're opening the door for deception to come in. And I've told them, when you say, no, we're not telling people that grace gives them a license to sin, I'm saying your very message is telling it in other ways. And that's the mixture. God's true grace, Titus, the second chapter, teaches us to say no to ungodliness. God's true grace changes us from the inside out. Now here's what's so important. I didn't call the message counterfeit grace in my book because there's a wonderful true message that they're preaching, but it's been preached with exaggeration, it's been preached with distortion, it's been preached with error added in. So a lot of people just get the true part and they'll say, my life has been changed by this message. I want to preserve that. I'm jealous for that. I don't want to take away any good thing anyone received, but when you mix anything with a little poison, it can be deadly, Sid.
You know, one of the statements that I hear quite often, and I believe we have to define this, many say, I'm under the New Testament, not under the Old. I'm not under the law anymore. What would you say if I walked up to you, Mike, and I said, I'm not under the law anymore? What would you say?
I would say absolutely. Number one, you're not under the law as a system of justification. You don't have to keep this commandment to be justified. We've been pronounced justified through faith in Jesus and saying, God, save me from my sins. You're not under the law as a system of justification. You're not under the condemnation of the law that if you fail to keep the Sabbath one day, there's a death penalty or something like that. And you're not under the law as a tutor or a supervisor to bring you to the Messiah. This is all laid out in Scripture. In fact, I get into this in detail in my book as well. So the law is no longer leading us to the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. We're in him. Now, under the new covenant, the law is written on our hearts. Now, under the new covenant, we have a higher standard. The law said, don't commit adultery. Jesus now says to us, don't lust in your heart. The law said, don't murder. Now Jesus, grace, says to us, don't hate in your heart. So now we are supernaturally empowered to do what the law commanded us to do. We couldn't before. It was external. It was written on a tablet saying, do this, do that. Now through grace, it's written on our hearts. And that's why Hebrews warns us, don't tamper with it, because this is so much higher, so much more precious. It cost Jesus his blood.
Okay, but if that's true, why don't, since the law is written on our heart, why don't we just cut out our Old Testament and throw it away? Why should we even hang on to it?
Do you know that one hyper-grace teacher, whom I quote in my book, went as far as saying, and I wrote to him and said, you still stand by this? He said, 100%. He said, quote, the Bible Society, I don't know which Bible Society it meant, made a terrible mistake when they put the Old Testament together with the New Testament. It has terribly confused believers. Sid, I have chapters in my book talking about how the Old Testament is thrown out. And people say, no, we can learn from it. We can learn from examples. Well, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10 to believers and says, look at how Israel sinned. Look at how they committed idolatry, sexual immorality, and don't do the same, because these are warnings for us. Sid, the Bible of the early church was, quote, the Old Testament. That's the only Bible they had. Paul preached grace based on the Old Testament. Now people want to throw it out. That's an ancient heresy that goes back to an early church leader who went heretical called Marcion. And it goes all the way back to the second century. It's being revisited today. People are getting so caught up in...
So the same spirit that was on this Marcion is on some of these hyper-grace teachers today.
Or at least the tendency to go in that same direction. There's one very, very well-known TV preacher, author, and he has a teaching series that contrasts the God of the New Testament, the God of love and mercy, with the wrathful God of the Old Testament. That is classic Marcion belief. So we need to recognize a serious root of error. Sid, I've read stuff. Look, you know, I read the Hebrew like other people read the English.
Listen, you provoke me to jealousy. Not only does he read the Hebrew, but he has memorized a great deal of the Old Covenant in Hebrew. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I'm provoked that there's a whole lot more to memorize that I want to get in my heart. It's not that big a book when you really think about it. But Sid, I've read some quotes, and here's what happens. Preacher A says it, and then 100 other people repeat it. I see verbatim, book after book, teaching after teaching. They all say the same thing because they think Brother so-and-so researched it because he said the Hebrew says this and that. And it's wrong. It's absolutely false. I think, what Bible are they reading? And what grieves me is some of these people are fine people with a fine message that could help so many, but they feel as if to really preach grace, they have to go to this hyper extreme. Some of them say, if it's not too good to be true, it's not grace. Well, then here's a logical question. If there's a hell, if there's future punishment, then it's not too good to be true. Some of them have gone completely off the deep end and say, that's right, everyone will ultimately be saved because, hey, it's grace. This is where it leads.
Don't even some of them say the devil's going to end up being saved?
Yeah, there's one fellow who's promoted, he used to promote a healthy revival repentance message. Then he began to preach hyper grace. And the moment you try to interact, you are Ishmael. I am Isaac. You are under the law and the flesh. I'm in the spirit. And now he keeps going further and further. He says, hey, why not? Why not Satan being redeemed? Why not these wicked spirits being redeemed? Is there anything outside of God's grace? Now, 99% of the guys would reject that, but that's where it goes when it becomes untethered from scriptural truth.
You know, Mike, I am so excited to release your brand new book. We are the first. It's called Hyper Grace, subtitled Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message. It's 300 plus pages, but this is, in my opinion, the defining book for one of the greatest heresies that the church has had in modern times. I believe that everyone has got to get this book, read it. Mike names. Mike quotes exact quotes of many of the people you'll recognize from television. And I urge you to get this book. And then I have a special teaching CD by Mike called True Grace. And I want you to get it from a scholar of scholars, what true grace is, all available for a gift of $25. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.